This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Never filtered, always fun.
I can't confirm or deny it's the best pie in town. JFJ's Pizzeria.
Yeah, and he would just look at someone's burnt pizza and just say, well, the cutlery's got to be lined up a little bit differently on the table, because that's what he does. Micromanages.
Bergie's Pizzeria.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, so I got a question for you guys out of the gate here.
Yes.
The NBA draft goes tonight, and it's on ESPN in the States. You can watch it on TSN up here. My understanding was, because the same thing had been applying with the NFL draft for a while, and now with the NBA draft for the past couple of years, that media members working for ESPN and with the draft, media members working with the NFL Network all agreed that they would not tip the picks. So they would not report on who was getting picked before the commissioner made the announcement.
Like on Twitter and stuff.
Basically on Twitter, yes. To try to hold on to some suspense so that you have to watch on TV to find it out.
Right.
Now, it's a flawed system anyway, because people that don't work for ESPN that have access, they're tipping picks. They don't care about your rule.
Right.
But the NBA draft goes down tonight. Adrian Wojnarowski is the insider of insiders.
He's Bobby Mack.
With all due respect to Bobby Mack,
he's on another level.
He gets almost everything. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, 95% of scoops in the NBA seem to go through him.
In a league where the NHL seems to moving back from giving scoops, and he gets everything.
He gets everything. He sent out a tweet at 3:53. Here's how the top six of tonight's NBA draft is taking shape. It names the six players.
Come on.
That's a little... They're ruining it.
I think so. And not to mention, shouldn't they take issue with this down at ESPN? I'm not saying he should be suspended or lose his job, but I thought they went to him and said, no tipping picks. This guy just announced the first six picks.
What are they going to say to him, though? He's like, you know what I mean? Like, they could give him heck, but...
Did he even, like, frame it as, if I were to guess, this is how it might play out?
Is taking shape. That's the word.
Let me read this to you. This is Adrian Wojnarowski 10 minutes ago. Here's how the top six of tonight's NBA draft is taking shape. Number one, the Suns are taking DeAndre Ayton. Nobody's surprised by that. Everyone knows they're taking him. Number two, the Kings are taking Marvin Bagley Jr. Now, that is a bit of a surprise. There have been some rumors out there that they were leaning towards taking Doncic, the kid out of Europe. Number three, the Hawks are taking Luka Doncic. Number four is Jaren Jackson Jr. out of Michigan State. Number five, the Mavs are taking Mo Bamba. And number six, the Magic are taking Trae Young. Now, that's an interesting one, because Young was maybe expected to go to Cleveland at eight, maybe the Knicks at nine.
Is that the kid who said he could... Didn't you see what he said yesterday? Is that him?
I don't know. I didn't know.
Who said that he could beat Steph Curry? He was just on a radio show yesterday.
Saying he could beat Steph Curry
in threes.
Well, that's his game. Like, he's a modern-day player like Steph Curry. He jacks up threes. He had a great first half of the college season.
I think it was Dan Patrick's show he was on, saying that he could, like, Patrick was like, who would you, you know, in the NBA, like, if you faced those two champions, how would you do? He's like, yeah, I beat them.
You know they have to answer that, though. You know that, like, if you went to Rasmus Dahlin right now and said, who do you think will be the better defenseman, you or Erik Karlsson, I think he's got to say himself.
You think so?
You have to. With all due respect to whoever the veteran is or the superstar in your current sport,
right?
I think just putting that forth, you have to put forth arrogance and confidence, and
this was
I'm going to be the man.
Aggressive, though, I thought. But
I didn't see that from Trae Young. I didn't know that. But I guess what I'm saying is Wojnarowski, he's kind of ruined the first six picks.
If that's how it plays out,
he's ruined it.
Like, the people producing the show must be just like, what are you doing? You want everybody dialed in to see what's going on.
I'll show up for the seventh pick.
And by the way, if it doesn't turn out like that, he looks like a dummy.
Well, that's the reverse. How does he talk himself out of it if it doesn't play out that way?
Right.
You know he's so dialed in, he's contacted the team saying, who are you taking?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is how I would think he's gone through it.
But other teams must be like, well, we don't know yet because we don't know what the hell's going to unfold.
Well, that is, I think, what is fascinating about this tweet.
Yeah.
Is Wojnarowski telling all of these other teams who the teams around them are going to pick? And if so, if you threw a smokescreen at him, are you using him in this tweet to maneuver somehow and take somebody else?
Yeah, you're right.
Because NBA GMs all read that tweet, and they're like, okay, let me put this down. Bagley Jr. to the Kings. Like, yeah. They're taking this
as... So he's
as
off the board. Now they're looking at somebody else.
Absolutely.
What's the Jerry's percentage that it plays out those six picks? With just what you mentioned there.
I'll say 50%.
I think 30. Because I can't see GMs looking at that saying, oh, maybe this is not what we thought, and we're going to go in a different direction. I can't see it playing out like that.
But
I have no idea.
But you wouldn't change your pick for spite if you feel like that player is
your guy. No, you can't do that. But why stop at six? Just give us the first the first round, courtesy of Wojnarowski at like 4 in the afternoon.
The first round on Facebook.
Yeah. Just announce all the picks 4 hours before the draft, and then we don't even have to watch tonight.
Well, he's that big of an insider. This is
an ego
fake
play.
But it's not fake news.
It's not fake news, but it's an ego play by him. It is, because it's him saying, I can't believe ESPN is telling me that I can't prove that I have all this knowledge where somebody else is going to do it. Someone at Yahoo will be tipping picks. Someone at Sports Illustrated, someone at CBS, Fox. If you don't have the rights and you're not conducive to this rule, someone else is going to look like the hero. And I think Wojnarowski sitting here saying, I don't want to give that up.
What if it came out afterwards and ESPN had suspended him for that? I'm just saying what ifs, right? Like,
here's the problem.
If they came out and said no one's going to be tipping picks, I'm sure he's in a little bit of hot water. I mean, come on.
He didn't just tip a pick. He tipped the first six picks.
Six picks. Like if Brian Hayes put out on his Twitter account today, Rasmus Dahlin is going first. Everyone knows that.
Exactly.
But and second or third. I'm hearing Bergevin's doing this at three.
Well, I'm going to say, I think everyone accepts, it feels like it, that Svechnikov's going two to Carolina.
Yeah, that was my sense from Craig the other day. He thought that 1-2 was pretty locked.
Right.
Three was kind of where it gets dicey. So if you're like putting out 3-6, this is what I'm hearing.
Brady Tkachuk is going 3 to the Habs. Yeah. Zadina is going 4 to Ottawa. Like, it's different when you are projecting or it's a mock draft or my understanding. But again, the way Wojnarowski, first of all, based on his reputation, that he is all-knowing.
Right.
He's the Wizard of Oz, that he's got it all figured out. And the way that he's wording this, and because we are aware that ESPN has a policy where you're not supposed to be tipping picks.
Right.
I think this is just a kind of an ego play.
He said, to hell with it.
Look how much I know. I'm getting this out. I won't be tipping starting at the 7th pick, but this is what I'm going to tweet out. And I don't think ESPN can or will do anything to him, because guess who's most likely going to break the LeBron news?
Right.
Wojnarowski, or where Kawhi Leonard's going to get traded to.
Yeah, like he's the guy.
He's got everything.
But he's got autonomy. It's him being a hero, ultimately.
I feel like it's a bit heroic to send this tweet out at 4 p.m., 4 hours before the draft.
Can you imagine, like...
Well, what's worse, that or 10 minutes before the draft? I think now is worse.
Do you think there'll be any...
I think now is worse, because talk radio stations all up and down the East Coast...
It's exploded.
Everyone's talking about this right now.
Yeah, every one of these cities' drive-home show is like, well, we're getting this guy.
Exactly.
What do you think about this guy?
Better yet, that's
exactly
what's
going on. And they're calling different people and saying, what's this guy all about?
Waj is reporting reports that we're getting this guy at 5. What is he?
Phone lines are open. We're taking Mo Bamba at 5.
Thoughts?
Yeah, that's what's happening right now in Dallas and Sacramento and Atlanta and Orlando.
What are the replies? What are the comments?
I saw there was 390 comments. People were like, you idiot.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people like, dude, stop it. But there's some people that are kind of...
How many retweets?
Excited. Oh, dude, this thing's got thousands already.
Yeah, like, it's 2,100 retweets and 4,100 likes and 496 comments already. And he's put it out there 16 minutes ago. Like, Woj, what does it say? One guy.
Wojnarowski.
Like, yeah, Woj, don't leak picks. It's sent to ESPN. Like,
I think I respect the move, because I believe ESPN has this policy where they've told everybody don't leak anything. And he's just said, I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to me?
That's for everyone else. I'm the guy.
Exactly. Go talk to someone down the hall at SportsCenter. Feel free to talk to that guy. Tell the guy who works at ESPN.com.
Tell Joe from the bridge.
Yeah, exactly. I don't roll that way.
Wow.
I roll my own way, and I'm going to tip off the top six picks. Now, there is some entertainment value to this, even though, again, I'm going into it 50-50 that he actually gets it right. But tracking whether or not he gets it right does become quite interesting.
Now, if
like
he gets
it, like you really think this guy breaks everything, all the big news. He's probably going to come up with the LeBron stuff, the Kawhi stuff. Does this really add to his insider legacy? That's the part I'm thinking. Like, if I'm his boss, I'm going to say, what are you trying to be a hero for? What is your motivation? Everybody knows you dropped the, what do they call it, the Woj bomb.
Mm.
So why? Why do you need this to enhance your profile?
You're right. This will not be enhancing his profile.
So the question is, what is your motivation for doing this? To say F you to ESPN? Or is it just to say, I'm the man and I'm doing it regardless? I don't get it.
I think it's, like Kay said, it's an ego thing. Like, this is me, and I'm, you know, I don't want somebody at Yahoo breaking it. I'm the guy, and I've always been the guy. And to me, that's, I don't see any other motivation.
No, I do think it's an ego play. I also think when he came over from Yahoo about a year ago, I think it was, he was a highly sought after guy. He brought his whole program with him, by all accounts.
Right.
He totally took over the NBA insider scene at ESPN, and maybe this was a part of his negotiation. Basically, I'm coming over, but you don't tell me anything.
Yeah.
I do whatever I want. Now, to an extent, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to get political. I'm not going to do this, that, or the other. But I'm a journalist. I'm going to act like a journalist. I'm going to break what I want to break. You're going to benefit greatly from it.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's going to go. And that could be it, too. Maybe he's putting a stake in the ground. Like, I never agreed to your policy on draft night. I'm Adrian Wojnarowski. I've got the top six picks, and I'm tweeting them out, baby. And it's out there now. What'll be interesting is if, like, SportsCenter down in the States just doesn't even acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like don't report it.
Don't report it. Like, he can tweet it out, but we have a no-tipping policy here for everybody else, so that better not show up on SportsCenter tonight.
Did ESPN's Twitter account...
They'd almost have to, though.
Did the ESPN's Twitter account retweet it? That's something. Because usually their Twitter... Like, TSN's Twitter account will retweet stuff.
Oh, yeah. The Instagram comes up. As soon as Bob or Dregs or Pierre come up with something, it goes on those accounts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bar down, all of that. So, did ESPN actually acknowledge it? Or did they just pretend like nothing to see here?
I don't know. I am so fascinated by this.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at their Twitter page right now.
Feathers.
Like,
he's gone rogue at
like
ESPN.
It's just like that. Like, they're not even acting. Yeah, their Twitter page.
They're going to pretend it didn't happen.
Was talking about Croatia.
Who just won 3-0 earlier today. And Lionel Messi kind of acting like a suck. I guess he ran out of the stadium pretty quickly. And
who cares, man? You lose. You do it.
Yeah, well. I don't know.
There's so much pressure on him, right? Like, I watched the majority of the game in here in the studio. Croatia was far and away the better side. They deserved to win anyway, but everything is about Messi. Everything. And that's the one thing that he's missed out on. And they lost in the World Cup final, I believe, 4 years ago. But he's got every other title. He's got every other award.
Right.
And it looks like they're going to be knocked out in the group stage. And that means our friends in Iceland have a real opportunity to play themselves through.
I love it.
Iceland-Nigeria tomorrow on TSN Radio in the morning. I can't wait, because if Iceland wins, I think they're basically through. Croatia's through, and Iceland will be real close to being through. So if you get 330,000 people total in your country and you move on to the quarterfinals, Sweet 16, I'm all over that. Henry Burris will be in studio later in the hour. Week two of the CFL. The Argos playing their home opener on Saturday down at BMO Field.
Somebody just sent the NBA on ESPN did retweet it.
Maybe he controls that Twitter account, though.
They've got 5.9 million followers, so that's... ESPN main page didn't, but the
ESPN NBA.
Yep.
Well, Peter tweeting in with a good point. He did not name the team of the fourth pick. And that's the Memphis pick. And remember, there's been a lot of chatter that Memphis is looking to trade that pick, and maybe he knows of a trade that's already happened, but he's not going to announce the team that's moved up yet.
Man, this guy's...
It's crazy. So, NBA draft tonight, and the NHL draft tomorrow. We had a Jerry's that there'd be a trade in the NHL between the end of yesterday's show and the beginning of today's show, and that did not happen, but there was a hiring. Barry Trotz got hired down in the island, and this was the worst-kept secret. Everyone saw this one coming. And
the biggest question I have going in is Barry Trotz have to shave the goatee?
No.
There's a no facial hair policy.
I think it's very loose.
I don't remember
loose.
I don't remember a coach in New Jersey ever having a beard or facial hair. Did Pat Burns shaved? I believe Pat Burns shaved in New Jersey.
No, I think he had a mustache.
Look up Google images. Find images of Pat Burns in New Jersey.
Pat Burns loses the stash.
I think he went stashless in New Jersey. I really do. I have a mental image of that baby face, the big cheeks.
It could be possible. So Barry Trotz goes...
wins a cup and then has to shave because of his new employer.
Well, for $20 million, would you shave your goatee?
I would do a lot more than that.
Exactly.
This is why I left Washington, because this kind of deal was waiting for him. He was going to make $1.8 million in Washington.
Times
he's making
two.
$4
million. So 3.6 over 2 years or four a year for the next five.
I find it hard to believe Lou didn't have a backdoor conversation with Barry Trotz before Barry sent in the resignation.
Absolutely.
This idea, and this is what always happens. This is what always comes out. No, he's okay with taking a year off. You know, he's okay with that. No, he's not. He knew that there was another job waiting for him, and he didn't write that resignation letter until he knew it was ready. And what they did is they sent it out earlier in the week. They let it breathe for a few days so it's not too obvious that these two teams or two parties have been talking together, and then they work out the deal.
Yeah, that's
and that's exactly what happened here. And now, you know, people in Toronto and San Jose and Vegas and all the potential suitors for John Tavares are wondering what this means in terms of his situation.
I know Trotsky's a great coach, and he just won the Stanley Cup, but if I'm John Tavares and his agent, you've come this far. Why would a coach, your organization still looks the same? I know it's an important thing, but...
You're right, but I don't think it's just the coach. I think you just said it, Brian, like, Trotz would have known. There's some back channels. I guarantee you that Luce had to probably step out of his comfort zone and open up a little bit more of what he's going to be trying to do to get him to stay. He may not sign. He may not sign by next week, but he's going to know the direction that that organization's going to be headed. Like, and that I don't think Luce comfortable doing that, but he probably has to do that because of, you know, Tavares having all the cards.
Well, now he's got a partner in crime in terms of the conversation, and that is Barry Trotz.
Right.
You know, I said earlier in the week, I think the hiring of Trotz is more significant than the hiring of Lou Lamoriello. Like that, the coach, the day in, day out, the atmosphere, the practices,
right,
the room, having faith that a guy knows what he's doing behind the bench. Because with all the due respect to Doug Waite, it was ugly last year. It was an ugly, ugly style of play. They gave up 50 shots a night, scored a lot, but it was just barn burner hockey, and you can't win like that. And you got a guy in Trotz who's coming off a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Been in the league for a long time, lots of pedigree.
And a guy who was recognized as a defensive coach.
No stash.
Burnsy, no stash, nothing.
but
Pat
did he,
Burns.
But did he shave his stash? Like,
he
that's
did,
the thing,
dude.
But
I'm telling you. And Stubbs tweeting and saying Larry Robinson shaved his stash when he coached in Jersey, too. Coaches can't get away with a mustache and beard. Lou will not have it.
I thought Robbie Fitorik or somebody had one there.
Maybe that's why he got fired.
Well, he wore a sweater. Sweater's worse than the stash.
People are sending in pics. Pat Burns never had any facial hair in New Jersey.
I love it.
Well, I'll give Lou credit. I mean, he's consistent.
Right. Well, Pat Burns, I don't think he had a problem lifting that cup.
Well, that's true.
So, that's crazy.
We'll get to the bottom of it. Really important stuff. Will Barry Trotz have to shave now that he's working for Lou?
We should implement something for when Taddy comes on our show. No mustache.
Maybe the Islanders will try to poach him from Hamilton.
You never know.
Try to get him down there to work.
He's a star.
Yeah, he could be. Henry Burrison Studio, you can email us at any point, even during the day when we're not even in here. We'll find these emails. John sent me an epic email and a text from his wife.
Really?
Well, I'll read that. We'll get into it next. And nice. Henry Burris will be in studio looking ahead to week two in the CFL. We got Steve Phillips coming up. Keith Kachuk is on the show at 5:30. Bobby Mack live from Dallas. We'll get into the NHL awards last night. NBA draft tonight. Jays in Anaheim taking on the Angels. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, the email address is live at tsn1050.ca. So you can email us at any point, 24-7, 365. The email box is always welcome.
Oh, yeah?
Live at tsn1050.ca. You can text us 1050-50. So I got in here around 2 o'clock, wanted to be in here for the Croatia-Argentina game, and log on to the computer in the studio because we're playing a game. So Scotty Mac isn't in here, right? Usually I prep in the other room, but I was in here. So just out of curiosity, I get in here and I start going over the archives because sometimes people send us texts at like 12:30 in the morning. You know, like podcast guy, just catching up, wanted to say. So John sent us an email. I'm not going to say his last name because I don't want him to get in trouble with his wife.
Right.
Sends me an email. Sends us an email. Saying, my wife is a physician and was at a research conference this morning. As she was sitting in a room with 30 doctors and other leading medical professionals observing a presentation, her podcast on her phone started playing. See screenshot below. So he sends me a screenshot of her text this morning, sending it to her husband. It reads, OMFG, I literally was just sitting in the research day as someone was presenting and not sure how, but my podcast started playing and it was on overdrive. And it played, quote, I'm in the bathroom and there's a guy in the stall, dot, dot, dot. I don't even remember when we talked about that. She said, I'm so mortified. I'm turning off my phone until lunch. I just left the room, but honestly, I feel like I can't go back in. It was also so loud. The whole place definitely heard it. So shout out for downloading the podcast and having it on your phone to begin with.
Yeah.
We got some smart listeners, man. If you're a physician, shout out.
I know.
We like grit grinders and everybody.
Bathroom. It was probably me saying I was in the bathroom.
I don't remember that conversation. I'm not saying it didn't happen, because it most certainly did.
It's 100% happened.
But
it's just how many times have we had bathroom talk? It's too many.
Underwear and bathroom talk comes up every couple of weeks.
He was, what, Gold Dust Sniffer the other day.
Gold Dust.
Gold Dust. A deep sniff.
Give me the thing. But that would be a tough spot to be in. You're in there with 30 doctors. It's an important presentation.
And you got to present. You got to present yourself.
Like,
you're a
absolutely
professional, and you're, you know, even if they saw that you were listening to something, it's probably catching up on like latest journals and in doctors.
Something through like BBC.
Thankful it was our show and not somebody fires up a Pornhub scene that just clicks and you're in trouble.
Well, that's a valid point too. But in terms of radio and that kind of content.
It's
not quite Pornhub, but it's probably in the
same ballpark direction.
Listening to three idiots on the radio out of nowhere while someone's presenting, and we're talking about being
Harry
in the
Dunn.
Washroom,
the
and someone's going Harry Dunn.
Yeah.
So shout out to John for sending us that story and his wife. Hopefully she went back in the room and just said, listen, I'm going to eat this one. I'm an Overdrive fan. I download the podcast. Sometimes they can be stupid.
Yeah.
Live with it. That's the kind of physician I'm looking for. I want to go to her. I need her as a new doctor. I need it.
Yeah,
I need to find out where she works, and I want to be her patient.
Yeah, I think all three of us should be.
I think so.
We'll be patients.
Yes. Okay, Henry Burris coming up. The Argos are back home this weekend. Saturday down at BMO Field, playing Calgary, though. So here we go again. The Eastern Conference has been so bad for so long.
Yeah.
Even with the Argos won the Grey Cup last year.
Ottawa the year before.
Right. But it's always the same thing. During the regular season, it's the West has like 14 wins, 15 wins, and the East is just brutal teams. But someone's got to get to the Grey Cup, and it kind of feels like that's going to end up happening again. So we're going to get Henry Burris in here. We'll break down what's been going on in the CFL. When are we going to see Johnny Manziel? Could we see Terrell Owens?
Yep.
And what do we expect out of the Argos this weekend? Henry Burris in studio in 2 minutes. Oh. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Thursday Night Football tonight, CFL on TSN. It's week two. And we got a guy in studio who's going to be on the panel every Thursday night for Thursday Night Football on TSN. He's a three-time Grey Cup champ, two-time Grey Cup MVP, two-time CFL MOP.
Legend.
Legend. This is what we do. We pump tires when guys come in studio.
Yes.
Henry Burris. What's happening, Henry?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Is that the kind of introduction you're looking for? I mean, if we just brought you in like some schlub off the street, what would you? How would you react to that?
I just try to give you all the facts of all the guys who are playing. You know, I'm a has-been now, so.
We all are, buddy. Is it so quick, how when you're done, like, you're done. I'm sure you're obviously still very recognizable wherever you go, but when you're out, you're out.
Yeah, but see, he's in shape. Like, he's looking good. Now, how long have you been out of the game now?
So, well, it's 2 years now.
Okay, but see, you look like you could throw balls. It looks like you could step right in.
You still work out or no?
You know what? Two or three times with more beard curls than actually hitting the gym right now. Yeah. So I'm going down that path, guys. You know, I need to talk to Daniel Alfredson, though, because the other day we were both, taking some drives at a golf tournament. I hit it about 250. He steps up, hits it about 450. And I'm like, well, really 350. But I'm like, man. But hey, I need to keep doing these beer curls because I guess that adds to my drive.
Absolutely.
Alfie's put a few LBs on. I will say that. He looks good, but he's starting,
a little stockier.
He's starting to head into that territory. Like, there's usually that first year out when you retire. You know, it's 20 pounds by just looking at things. You have to change your eating habits. You have to change some of the things that we're so used to, loading up and big portions and naps in the afternoon.
Well, but you also work out and practice every day, right?
Exactly.
Like, that's what keeps you in shape. Like, you can eat horribly, potentially.
Do whatever you want.
But if you're knocking out 1,000 calories every day on the ice or on the field, but when that's not available to you anymore,
it gets ugly quick.
It finds room somewhere in the bottom.
Option not available button is always there. Right?
Absolutely. So we were talking about, you know, the past couple of years. You were on that Ottawa team a couple of years ago where it was all Calgary all year. The West just dominated the East. But you get to the Grey Cup. That's why you play the games. Ottawa won 2 years ago. The Argos won this year. It's only week two. But just looking at the standings after the first week, very, very similar to what we've seen. I mean, are you expecting this to be the case again where the West, all of those top-end teams, 13, 14, 15 wins, and the East are kind of hovering around 500?
I don't think so.
Or will it even out?
I think things are going to change this year because if you look in week one, each and every game where the East crossed over to the West, because all Eastern teams were on the road in the Western Division last weekend, all games were close. They came down to the final few minutes where Toronto could easily have won that game, albeit an errant throw by Ricky Ray, which ended up being an interception, which went to the house. I mean, BC and Montreal, I mean, we thought we had a game in the first quarter and a half, and then we all struggled through the next two and a half quarters in that game. It could have went either way. And of course, you know, when it comes to that Calgary-Hamilton game, everybody wanted, you know, Johnny United or Johnny Football to walk out on the field and start playing, but Masoli almost guided them to a victory. But to me, guys, I think it's closer than it's ever been, and I think the Eastern teams are only going to get better. We're going to see what's going to happen this week, because now you got more Western teams crossing over. Grey Cup rematch here in Toronto on Saturday night, and then tonight we've got the Ottawa Redblacks hosting Saskatchewan, which we can't wait to see Ottawa, what type of team that they're going to field.
What do you make of the Johnny Manziel situation? It's obviously a big profile player. Do you see it playing out that it's just inevitable that he becomes a starter?
Well, my thing is, he's
got to earn it, but do you see that happening?
Honestly, it's going to take a long time because, to me, he was a high-profile player. He's still a big name as far as in the sports world, and I think that's what's carrying him more than anything else. The checks that he cashed back at A&M, it wasn't in Cleveland because he didn't do much in Cleveland.
That's right.
But the checks that he cashed in A&M are, you know, helping him out. Now he's still benefiting from that. But the thing is, the guy hasn't played in 3 years. So I don't care what surface you put a guy out there, you can't rush it. Professional sports is not a fast food industry. You can't rush a guy onto the field, regardless of whatever the surface is, and expect the same results. Because my thing is, even at the end of the preseason, he threw one touchdown. It was a late throw, and he threw it behind the guy, where if it had been with starters, it would have went the other way for a touchdown. Be patient, everybody. Trust the process. To me, Masoli and Manziel both followed the same path to the CFL. They both were Heisman candidates. One won a Heisman Trophy. They both are similar style quarterbacks. One's paid his dues. The other one hasn't. So Johnny Manziel, be patient. prove it off the field, and that will help you get on the field and become a franchise player.
I think Dave Naylor tweeted out the other day that Terrell Owens, what is it, Calgary that put them on?
Edmonton.
Do you ever see that happening?
No. I mean, first of all, he's going to demand more money than what he deserves because the guy is 44 years old. Yeah. I mean, it's been a decade since he's even caught a pass on the field in football. The guy's been too busy getting his hair done and posing for pictures. And
he's on Instagram every day saying, I'm ready to go. I'm like, but nobody wants you.
Exactly.
Just getting off track here, can you believe that today is National Selfie Day? Did you hear that? I thought every single day was National Selfie Day.
I've lost track of all of these days.
I know that.
Every day is some sort of day, right?
It's National Selfie Day every single day.
That's
in my house anyway.
It's a selfie of the salad you're going to eat and what's going on. I mean, that's what people do, right?
Make sure you don't do too many selfies. Don't get selfie elbow. That's kind of the new fad going on.
Yeah, exactly. Henry Burris in studio. Anyway, I'm with you. I mean, I don't see Terrell Owens coming up here, but clearly he wants to play. I mean, the NFL's not going to give him a shot if it's not the CFL. Where's he going?
I think, honestly, Edmonton grabbed his rights because nobody else did. I don't think anybody else is wanting his rights. He's 44 years old. I mean, Edmonton has him in their possession, but they're deep. They're deep at the receiver position. They've got Darrell Walker to a number of different guys who can make plays. Why would they need Terrell Owens? They're already a great team with Mike Riley as the starting quarterback. They don't need Terrell Owens. I don't foresee him coming up here. And if he did, there's no place for him in Edmonton to play.
And just think about the sideshow that comes along with it.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on.
Especially up here. He would try to put on such a show and such a clinic. And
I grew up in Edmonton. Like, it's not a city for everyone. It's very gritty.
Well, remember Ocho Cinco came up.
Yeah.
Right.
What did
Montreal,
he do?
Nothing.
He did nothing. I mean, that the same thing. What happened with T.O.? He come up here, and if you said T.O., they think you're talking about Toronto, not Terrell Owens.
Exactly.
Henry Burris in studio. He's on the panel tonight, Thursday Night Football on TSN Ottawa, Saskatchewan. The Argos with their home opener Saturday down at BMO with Calgary in town, a rematch of the Grey Cup. You talked about it last week where the Argos had a real shot at winning that game. How do you feel about Ricky Ray, you know, at his age? This was a constant conversation with him last year. Past few years, very injury prone. You know, I'm kind of bracing for an injury at some point, as bad as that sounds. But, I mean, you've been there. Guy who played in the CFL for a long time, guy who racked up all the stats and all the awards. Do you believe he's got one more big year in him? I mean, what are you expecting out of Ricky Ray?
Oh, I definitely believe he's got another strong year in him. I mean, having 1 year under Mark Trestman, look at the magic that they worked in just one simple season. And the fact that he worked his Ricky Ray magic down the stretch in the playoffs, guided them in that, you know, Canadian-like Grey Cup as far as in Ottawa, and to see him work his wizardry out there on the field, you know, I'm looking forward to it this year. However, in that first game in Saskatchewan, Saskatchewan's got a good team. Hey, guys, if you see that team walking on the field, they look pretty. I mean, they got a bunch of big boys that can run. They've got some athletes. But the fact that that offense, most of that team did not play at all in the preseason, it came back to haunt them in that first game, because if you're not out there flying around with the live bullets and all of a sudden you turn it on, hey, it's hard. You need some reps in preseason, and it came back to bite them in this game. But I definitely know with the talent that they have and the leadership and a guy like Ricky Ray at the helm, they definitely will be there in the end contending to go back to Edmonton to contend to win that back-to-back Grey Cup championship.
So before we get you out of here, I got to ask you, you were a proud athlete and you had doubters and you weren't afraid to rip a few guys on TSN. Now you work at TSN. Has there been any players that sent text saying, hey man, relax, chill out? Yeah. Have you got that yet?
Not yet. I'm looking forward
it's
to
coming,
it. Though.
It's coming.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it, guys. I'm now on the dark side, everybody says.
That's right.
But I'm loving it though, you know, and people knew this was my aspiration even while I played, I earned my degree in broadcasting. But I'm one of those guys that I'm going to call out exactly what you would say to yourself when we see it happen.
This is the line that I give to players if they say, why'd you say that or whatever, because a reporter gave it to me and I was like, oh, you ripped it. And he was like, you're the one out and did it on the ice. You're the guy that did it. I just commented on it. And do you disagree? That's the line you give him. You're the guy that's
you're
playing.
You're the one playing, man. You supply us with the material.
That. Assessment is honest with respect. Guys, like you said, it's inner dialogue. The minute a guy messes up out there, they know. As an athlete, you know. So you're just pointing it out. Yeah. It happens.
They don't like people talking about it. That's
I know. Nothing to see here.
Especially negative.
That's true.
Especially in 2000.
Exactly. Get ready. He is Henry Burris again. He's a big part of the panel tonight, Thursday Night Football on TSN. We look forward to it. Thanks for popping in.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good one now.
You too. Thanks. We'll see you again soon. There he is. Henry Burris in studio. Week two in the CFL. Don't forget, Argos at home on Saturday down at BMO Field taking on Calgary. Steve Phillips coming up in the 5 p.m. hour. Keith Kachuk coming up at 5:30. We got some big questions for him. And Bobby Mack from Dallas later this afternoon. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Steve Phillips coming up in the next hour. Keith Kachuk as well. His son Brady Kachuk expected to go in the top 5, certainly top 10 tomorrow night.
We got to get into something. Well, maybe we shouldn't, but I had to do Duthie's stupid podcast.
Oh, yeah?
And I came up with the hypothetical for the day because they have a hypothetical all the time.
Yeah? How was it?
I think the question I came up with is, if you were a diehard hockey dad and you had no talent, you were a grit grinder, how much would you pay Keith Kachuk for his stuff to make a hockey player?
You've brought that up on the show. We had that debate.
For his, like...
Like, would you pay $1 million to have a little Keith Kachuk running around?
Well, he's about to go 2 for 2 in the top 10.
No kidding. So yeah. The guy that's got no talent and is a grinder...
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
All heart, but no talent, and no chance your kid is making it to the NHL.
No chance.
I think I'd wing it. I do. I think I would wing it and just bank on a miracle. Because you do see some parents at these drafts, and you're like, "That? How is that your kid? You're like 5'6" and nerdy, and your kid is 6'3" and athletic." So I think I would wing it. I don't think I would pay that money.
Oh, were your brothers athletic?
Yeah, we're all in the almost all in the OHL at the same time.
That's cool.
You?
No, my brothers played hockey, but they never. They got. I think they played like up to midget or something. But yeah, like they're athletic. My oldest brother's like a soccer guy. Loves soccer.
So he's loving the World Cup then right now.
I think so. Yeah, and then my middle brother, yeah, he was sports oriented. He was more of a coach.
Do you consider yourself athletic?
Me? Absolutely. I was a great athlete.
Played
growing up. I played all sports, man. I loved it: baseball, basketball, hockey, golfer.
But that's what I mean.
Golfer,
slasher, but chop.
Like some people I know. You're right. Like the player shows up. He's 6'5", shredded, and then the two parents show up, and they're both 5'6".
Yeah, you'll see it tonight with the NBA. The NBA is the best. I love the NBA draft. For starters, the best suits of all the drafts. Some of the suits these guys are going to be wearing tonight. Some guy will have an orange suit.
Will there be any LeBron,
will
shorts?
Will there be any Hellebuck suits?
How about the look on Hellebuck last night? What was that?
He's so intense. I think he must now know, that's going to be his shtick.
I don't know, man.
Need to relax.
The suit, he had a magician suit.
Yeah, Pekka he should have been the magician.
Pekka Rene looked good. I like the white tux. There was some good. I thought the
I
guys
didn't watch
looked.
Any.
Well,
I really didn't care.
The in thing now were the tuxes that were shiny. Like Taylor Hall's was a red shiny, and Brian Boyle, was a blue shiny.
Yeah, they're.
I don't know
they're
if
they're a
can
lot different than 20 years ago. But hey,
my tux at the NHL Awards was pretty good. I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just the rental shoes were a little bigger than I expected them.
I heard it was emotional last night. I really didn't watch a lot. I'm not that interested. I find them awkward, a lot of the shows. I just, tell me who won. I was intrigued by who won, and I was tracking that on Twitter and via email. But I didn't really watch. But, again, credit to the NHL for bringing the Humboldt Broncos out and the kids from Parkland and first responders from Vegas. And I saw a little bit, and it was pretty cool. It seemed like the Vegas fans were there and representing when Carlson won. The Selkie, or was it the Lady Bing he won? Bing he won.
It was an unbelievable celebration of all of those people that survived and helped out.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of it, you're thinking, what the hell kind of world are we living in? If all three of these things, and I know the
one is maybe different
than the other two, but it's like, man, in 1 year, God damn it.
Yeah, tough.
Yeah, it was really, really, over the course of
6 months, we're talking, not even a full year, six months.
Yeah.
Maybe less than that. Anyway, we'll get into the awards and the writers who voted on the awards. This year, their whole ballots were exposed to the world. And a lot of people are kind of combing over who picked who. And It's led to some
local,
really...
It shows local bias, I will tell you that.
Of course that's going to be the case. Because locally, you watch 82 games of your team that you cover. You can't watch every other game.
You're right, but I mean, I still go back to... There was... Radko Gudas got a Rookie of the Year vote that year. Like, well, where do you think that was coming from? Like, at some point, you got to, like, go, okay... I'm going to look outside my own organization.
I hear you. And that happens all the time. But we'll get into that a little bit more in the next hour. The Jays are out in Anaheim taking on Mike Trout and the Angels. Stroman expected to return to the mound on Saturday. We'll catch up with Steve Phillips, get his take on that. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.